Hello, and welcome to the BTG Podcast. I am your host, Jen Fable, of BTG Wellness and LiveLifeUnbroken.com. BTG stands for Bridge the Gap, and it is inspired by my own healing journey. After receiving 7 different mental health diagnoses by the age of 19, I quickly realized that there was a massive gap between what I believed and understood in my head and what I truly felt in my heart. And no matter how many therapists I went to, I couldn't seem to bridge that gap until I found the tools and information that I share in my one-on-one private sessions, trainings, and right here on this podcast. My goal is to help you begin to bridge that gap by bringing you different topics related to mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. And in case you didn't know, this podcast is recorded live during my weekly Zoom virtual healing circles. These are weekly virtual gatherings that are 100% free, and no RSVP is required. So you are welcome to come whenever you can and stay as long as you want. Each week, we open the space with a candle meditation, after which I will share with you my favorite grounding practices and lead you through a circle casting, guided meditation, and breath work, followed by a soul-inspiring gratitude practice. If you are interested in learning more about how you can continue your journey and experience my virtual healing circles in real time, please visit www.btgwellness.com/circle and join my free circle membership. Of course, if you like what you hear in today's episode, please remember to leave a review and share the love by sharing this episode with your friends, family, and social network. And as always, if you have any questions, please know you can always reach out to me through my website at www.btgwellness.com or through email or social media. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Virtual Healing Circle with me, Jen Fable of BTG Wellness and LiveLifeUnbroken.com. And tonight we're going to be talking about altars. What are they? Why you should have one, and how you can start to use one as an anchor point in your life. So why is this important? This is important because all of us want this space where we can exist in our purest form. But most of us think that requires like building an entire addition to our home and making sure that no one ever comes in and touches our stuff. But in fact, it's really easy to create a space that is dedicated for us, where we can go to refocus, to rebalance, to revitalize our energy. This is important because having a space that is for us and us alone is a really big sign to the universe. It's a boundary you're setting with the universe that sets a very powerful intention of you claiming your space in the universe. And this is important because working with an altar is about representing the expanse of the macrocosm, the infinite potential of the universe, in a micro form that your human neurology can actually connect to. So let's start, of course, with what an altar is not. An altar is not a sign that you worship the devil or Satan and you're going to hiss at people. It's not that. An altar is not affiliated with any specific religion or philosophy. In fact, if you look at the history of all religions and all spiritual practices, altars are a big part of pretty much every single one of them. And an altar is not some big complicated thing that requires like blueprints and permits and rules and I'll do it wrong and what I have to include this. And if I don't do it right, then the gods are going to get me. So then what an altar actually is. An altar is just a symbolic representation of the expanse of the universe in a form that your human neurology can actually connect to. It's something tangible. We all want to manifest and we want to have goals and we want to bring cool things to us, but we need something tangible for our human neurology to actually hook into and play with. We need some sort of an anchor point in the physical layer of reality to be a point of dedication for our meditation or spiritual practice. And an altar is something that it is literally impossible to get wrong. I want to talk more about that. So let's back up for a moment. So I've talked a lot in the past about this idea that you exist on 4 layers of reality or realms. So there's the physical realm that, of course, includes everything that is tangible to your five senses. Anything that you see, smell, taste, touch, and hear is part of the physical layer of reality, is part of the physical realm. There's the emotional realm. This is where your memories and emotions are stored. This is associated with the part of your psyche known as your unconscious mind, the thing that's running in the background that controls your heartbeat and your digestion and also stores all the things you don't want to deal with. There's the mental layer of reality, or the mental realm. This is associated with the part of your psyche called the conscious mind. It's your thinky, logical, rational self. And then there's the energetic realm. There's a layer of reality that is connected to the quantum field of infinite potential. All things that can be exist in some form, and an idea that we can bring towards us. That's what the act of manifestation is. That's what the act of goal setting is, or growth, or healing. We want to take something that exists outside of us in this infinite quantum field of potential. We want to use our conscious mind, logical, thinky self to come up with what we want. And then we want to manifest it in tangible form in our physical reality, but we forget that we need to move through the emotional realm, the part that's associated with your unconscious mind. Now, while your conscious mind is logical and rational and uses words, your unconscious mind is symbolic. And so we need to tap into your imagination, into symbols, in order to bridge the gap and bring that thing that you want down into physical reality. Now, some of you may have heard this idea of as above, so below. This is something that was first mentioned way back in 500 AD in a Hermetic text called the Emerald Tablet. It's this idea that we are but a mirror of the universe, and therefore a mirror of the divine, that everything that exists outside of us also exists in some form inside of us. Because we are a reflection of that which is outside of us, we can play with things outside of us as a reflection for working inside. So what does that mean? What do I mean when I say that we're a mirror? If you were to take, let's say, an x-ray of the branches of the lungs of a human being, and if you were to compare it to the branches of a tree, you'd find a lot of parallels and similarities into their structure and their growth and their movement. If you take a cross-section of a tree and look at the rings on the trunk, and you compare it to a human fingerprint, there's a lot of similarities and mirrors of each other. If you take how neurons in our brains are connected and wired together, and you compare it to how galaxies in the universe connect with each other, we see a lot of similarities. So there seems to be some connection between the greater macro universe and how it is structured and how inside of us is structured. And so because as above, so below, as without, so within, because we are mirrors of the energy outside of us, it is also a mirror of us. And so an altar is about creating a space, creating a mirror of the macro universe in a form that your human neurology can actually understand. It's about using symbols to bridge the gap between your thinky self to pull that thing that you want down into physical reality. So what exactly is an altar in terms of its structure? It's either a permanent or a temporary thing that's designed to present items that are important to you, either spiritually or religious items. It's a sacred space. It's a focal point. It is a reflection of how you want to show up in the world, and it is a space that is 100% yours. There are very few places in our world that are 100% in our realm of control and 100% our place to use whatever creative forces we want to design something that represents who we are. And since as above, so below, as without, so within, when we take this one space and claim it as our own, as a place where we have 100% dominion and control, when we do that on the micro level, then because of that reflection, we also gain more control on the macro level. So your altar is an anchor point for your meditation practice. It's an anchor point for your spiritual practice. It's an anchor point for your life. It's a symbolic representation of who you are, that the energy can find you, and so that you can find you. So why would you want an altar? Because we all deserve a place that's 100% ours. And while it's nice to say, well, I'll just build a room or a she shed or a man cave, that's awesome. And sometimes ain't nobody got the budget for that. So an altar is something that we can create that is on our budget in our space. It can be something that we can move around or that's a permanent fixture. And it's ours and ours alone. It gets to be a pure reflection of how you want to show up in the world, separate from anyone else's opinions, anyone else's input. It is a beacon to the universe that says, I'm here. Come find me. Your altar is your own personal bat signal. So surely such an important device must be super complicated to create. Nope, quite easy. There's only three things you really need anytime you're working with any kind of energy, and that includes creating an altar. You need an intention. And that means just setting the intention of, I want to create a space that's 100% mine and that reflects the greater universe in a form that my neurology can hook into. That's enough of an intention. You need to use your imagination, your unconscious mind, the emotional realm, the part we're trying to move through. That's where your imagination lives. You can let it run wild, whatever you want. That's to apply for the creation of your altar. And then, of course, your intuition. That means if you're walking around and you see a beautiful rock and the rock says, I need to come home with you and sit on your altar, then you can follow that guidance. There's no right or wrong when it comes to creating a space that is 100% yours. So while there's no right or wrong and you can do whatever you want on your altar, some things that you might want to consider including. A lot of people like to represent the four elements on their altar. There are a lot of traditions that promote representing the four elements. Because the universe is made up of the four elements, and we want to represent the macro universe in micro form, it makes sense to have something from each of the elements represented. We'll talk a little bit more about what some examples might be in a moment. A lot of people like to put crystals on their altar, because why not? Meaningful photos can go on your altar. Important little tchotchkes or little things that you picked up that have significance and meaning to you. Inspirational items. I've had fortune cookie fortunes on my altar. Cleansing items like a smudge stick or some resin or tingsha bells or a Tibetan singing bowl. A lot of people like to keep their tarot or oracle cards on their altar. Basically, your altar can include anything that you want that represents who you are and how you want to show up in the world. This gets to be your space, and anything goes. Now again, because the universe is made up of the four elements, and since we want to represent the macro universe in micro form, it is nice to include something from each of the elements on your altar. So things that would represent the elements of water, a chalice or a cup, could be a mug that you grab out of your pantry, can be a fancy little ceremonial wine glass that you pick up somewhere, doesn't matter. It can be a paper cup, can be full of water or not full of water, it still symbolizes the element of water. River rocks are a great representation of the element of water. Seashells, a lot of people will use wine or some sort of a ceremonial liqueur. The element of fire, pretty simple, you can use candles. Candles are the element of fire, also a wand. So wands do represent in the tarot deck the element of fire as well as on our altars. The element of air can be something like incense. Feathers are a great representation of the element of air. Some crystals can be the element of air. An athami, which is a ceremonial dagger, so the suit of swords in the tarot deck is the element of air, so we can also represent that on our altar. And then the element of earth. This one's nice and easy. Sticks, stones, branches, flowers, soil, bread, and salt can be part of the element of earth. So anything that you find out and about in nature. You can keep the same items. You can switch them up regularly. Your altar gets to be whatever you want it to be. Now, a lot of people are like, well, but what if I don't have a spot in my house that I can just like have this permanently, or I have kids and they're going to destroy this, or I have cats and they're going to destroy this. Your altar can be a permanent fixture in your home, or it can be something portable. It can literally be a shoebox with a tea light in it, an incense stick, a lighter, some rocks, and a flower that you found somewhere. You can get as complicated or as simple with your altar as you want to. This is your space. I have seen these really cool, it's a makeup bag. I've seen it on Amazon. I'm sure it's somewhere in stores. When it's fully opened, it's a great big circle, and then you use a little zip thing and you zip it up and it becomes a little pouch that you Velcro shut. That would make a great portable altar bag, I think. I'm still kind of eyeing one of those. It can be a shelf in your home. It could be a plant stand. It could be just a piece of paper on a desk in a hotel room while you travel, and you say, "This is now my altar," and you draw a picture of a flame and you draw a picture of an incense stick. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Your intention, your imagination, and your intuition are what drive this. I've literally done the piece of paper thing when I travel, where I've just taken a piece of paper and I've drawn the different elements. And I stuck it on a table. I'm like, done, altar. And I use that as a space to start to connect. We all want to be able to stop and meditate and find a moment to zen, but we don't really take a moment to anchor our energy to something in the physical reality that our human neurology can understand. The emotional realm is not tangible. The mental realm is not tangible. The energetic realm is not tangible. We want these intangible things. We want to access infinite, which our little puny minds can't wrap its head around, and bring it down into our physical reality. An altar becomes a nice place that you can connect with it in a way that your human senses can actually be like, ah, I see it. I get it. As long as you use your intention, your imagination, your intuition, then whatever you create is 100% perfect. And it gets to be 100% yours. And to claim that space in the universe, to say, this is mine, is such a huge, powerful symbol and such a beautiful part of healing. So, some key concepts to remember. Remember that your altar is yours, and other people's opinions don't get to count in this space. It is a space that is dedicated to you connecting your little tiny micro human self to the upper planes of the universe so you can access something grander, something more. Remember that you can't screw this up. Literally, whatever you do is perfect. Literally perfect because it's your creation. So whatever you come up with is absolutely perfect. And remember that there is no right or wrong way to honor the divine in yourself, to honor your access to this infinite field of potential. It's your decision and your choice. And as always, I want to remind you to decide you want it more than you're afraid of it. Some of us might have been raised with a dogma that says that altars are scary or that they're only for certain buildings made by certain people. So the idea of exploring a space that is 100% our own and that we have pure control and dominion over can be a little scary. So just decide you want it more than you're afraid of it. That's always the decision that will take you to the next step. And as always, if you have any questions about anything from tonight's circle or podcast, please know you can always reach out to me through either of my websites, either btgwellness.com or livelifeunbroken.com, or through email or through social media.
There we go. I just had a weird question. I wasn't really thinking about doing this, but it just kind of popped into my head. Can you have two altars or more than two?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's funny because when I was doing my preparation for Circle tonight, and I do my meditations and all the stuff that I do to set up my space, which when we talk about sacred spaces, we'll get into that. I was looking at like the shelves behind my computer, which you guys don't see, and there's little tchotchkes and things that are significant to me and little pictures. And I'm like, you know, in a way, each shelf in my office is its own little tiny altar. Because everything that's meaningful is here. On top of my printer, I have my screaming goat. I have a spell jar. I have a photo of my parents. I have a photo of a very meaningful person in my life. I have all these stuff. So a book I love, all on top of my printer. So technically, the top of my printer is a little altar, right? Slowly but surely, who I am and my space in the world is seeping into an entire room. But it starts with one little anchor point, and yeah, it will start to seep and grow, which is kind of the cool part. So yeah, 100%, you can have multiple. Let it spread out so that you have an entire room where this place is where that is representative of you, where you have an entire house where there's aspects that are representative of who you are. Now, that being said, the whole point of an altar is to give you a focal point that you can connect to when you want to manifest, when you want to heal, when you want to grow, when you want to do something more or get more stuff from that infinite field of potential to flow towards you. And so the more altars you have, the bigger the space that your altar takes up, it becomes less tangible for your neurology to connect to. And so while you can absolutely let the energy spread out and have multiple altars, there is still benefit in having one prime location, one key place that you can go to when you want to work. And then if you need to travel, you have a portable one that you take with you. So you can have these little ones here and there, but you tend to still have one primary one that you play with, if that makes sense.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. By the way, you're allowed to build your altar and then change your mind and rebuild your altar and then change your mind again and rebuild your altar and then change your mind again and rebuild your altar. So it's not like I did it once and then I don't like it anymore. That means something. It means it's time to just play around with your altar. That's all. You're allowed to change your mind. You're allowed to move things. You're allowed to decide, I don't like that there. So I see a question in the chat asking, what happens if like friends or family members don't like the idea of you having an altar or comment on or ask questions about your altar? What happens when like people see that you have this thing? So yeah, it's a little strange, perhaps for some people in our life to understand. Depending on the relationship, it might be a great opportunity to educate them, to talk about the fact that this is a place where you can anchor your meditation and that it represents the elements and that it's a place that's 100% yours. So it might be a good opportunity for a nice conversation. There's also always the option of having one that maybe isn't as visible, having one that is more portable, that you can put away when there are people around. Having this as a private practice for yourself can be part of how you connect. And there's a very big difference between secrecy and privacy. Knowing that you can share it and choosing not to because you want it to be yours and yours alone is allowed. Your altar is symbolic of your space in the universe, and it gets to be yours, including how it's presented in the world. And so if you are concerned about judgment, one, go work on with someone and heal that. And two, in the short term, then have your altar be something that is private for you, that you don't share publicly, that isn't displayed all the time. Like I said, it can be in a shoebox in your closet. It can be a little mesh bag filled with something from all the elements in the bottom of your drawer. It doesn't matter. The act of creating your altar is part of the process of it. The contemplation of where am I going to put it? The contemplation of what can I include? The moment of, oh, I could put this on it. The time and the space to create it is just as important as the actual creation that comes from it, because it requires us to ask different questions of ourselves. It requires us to ask, how do I want to show up in the world? How do I want to represent? What do I want in this space? An altar is just a symbol. It is a step of saying, maybe I don't have a whole lot in my world. Maybe I'm just starting out and I've just come to the realization that I'm allowed to have a space. So taking that step and creating, even if it's just this big, a space where we designed it with the intention of connecting to that macro universe of potential, to say, I deserve more than I have, and I want to create an anchor point for more to find me. That is such a powerful thing. And to put it out there on the mental realm and think about it, it's nice. But in the coaching world, we have a saying. We say you have to do something. You have to actually do something to create more change. Creating an altar starts to make change on the physical level. You created something on the physical layer of reality that wasn't there before. Sometimes part of the idea of the thing that we fear, that we need to decide that we want more than we're afraid of it, is that we want this space in the universe more than we're afraid of the lack of acceptance of others. Yeah, it's easy to shine our light so bright when we're surrounded by people who like our light. And can you shine your light so bright when surrounded by people who prefer when you're in the dark? So now you get to actually do something. And when you're not, I don't know what to do now, start by creating a space that's yours. If it's a shoebox, fine. If it's a table, fine. If it's on top of a printer in an office, fine. If it's in a bag that you put in a drawer and that no one ever sees, fine. The act of creating a space with the intention of representing the macro universe in a micro form that you can connect to, that simple choice and act, that decision is so powerful. It's so powerful. Everyone wants to stand in their power, but you have to do something. And everyone's like, well, I don't know how to do that. If I stand in my power, everyone's going to run away from me. Start small. Start with an altar. Start by saying, here I am. Thank you again for joining me for this episode of the BTG Podcast, which stands for Bridge the Gap, with me, Jen Fable. Remember, if you want to experience my virtual healing circles in real time, visit www.btgwellness.com/circle. And of course, if you have any questions at any time, please know you're always welcome to reach out to me through social media or through my websites at btgwellness.com or through my coaching website, livelifeunbroken.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.